So the topic today is going to be Jesus Christ, the Son of God made man. All of you have a pencil, your textbook. So we're going to read and learn about Jesus Christ. Very important topic. Okay, we believe in the Blessed Trinity. This means that there is one God, but three distinct persons. That would be the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the greatest mystery of our Catholic faith. Jesus is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. In this lesson, we'll try to get to know Jesus better. So Trinity, how many persons in the Trinity?
Three.
Yeah, who's the first person? Father. Who's the second person? Who's the third person?
The Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit. Okay, so the first person is the Father, second person the Son, third person is the Holy Spirit. And the second person we have his name, right? Which is Jesus Christ. So make the sign of the cross again. Let's see if we can make it well. With your palm open, together. Let's say the words, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Say again. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Once again, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So every time you make the sign of the cross, you're professing with your hand, gesture, your belief in the Trinity. So all of your prayers should begin with the sign of the cross, right? Wake up in the morning, make the sign of the cross. Pass in front of the church, make the sign of the cross. Before dinner or lunch, make the sign of the cross. Before going to bed, make the sign of the cross. When you feel like there's a temptation to do something bad, make the sign of the cross. And God will bless you. Yeah? Right? You're in the habit of making the sign of the cross with a lot of reverence and devotion, a lot of love. So is this right? We believe in three gods in one person, right? Okay. We believe in three gods in one person.
One God, three distinct persons.
Okay. Let me see if you're awake. I said it backwards, didn't I? I said we believe in three gods in one person. It's three persons in one God. Right? I just want to make sure that you're awake, okay? So we believe in three persons in one God. Who's the second person? The Son. And his name is? Who's the third person? Who's the first person?
The Father.
Good. You're getting it. Getting it right. Okay, prayer. We're going to say this prayer together. This is the whole meaning of this topic, is this prayer we're going to say to Jesus now, okay? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Say it together. Lord Jesus, I beg for intimate knowledge of you, so that I will love you more ardently and follow you more closely. And that's from Saint Ignatius Loyola, a great saint. So knowledge, love. So we want to love God with our head, our heart, and our feet, right? With our feet too, right? We want to love them up here, love them here, but we want to show by our actions that we love them too. So head, mind, and feet. Okay. Okay. Desire and thrust of our lives. No greater pursuit in our lives is that in striving to get to know, love, follow, and serve Jesus the Lord. May Our Lady, the Mother of Jesus, attain for us this ardent yearning for the Lord. Okay, right now we're going to say this beautiful prayer that comes from one of the Psalms. You know, did you ever hear of the Psalms in the Bible? There are 150 Psalms, which would be the prayer book of the church. So let's say this together. You see it? In italics. As the deer yearns for the running streams, so my soul yearns for you, O Lord. So try to imagine this. A deer walking through the desert in Arizona. 110 degrees. It's a hot day. Hot and humid. So he's walking through the desert the whole day, and at 7 o'clock as the sun is going, he finally arrives at this woods, this forest. And there at the very entrance is a running stream of fresh water. What do you think the deer is going to do? A lot or a little? I'm going to drink as much as he possibly can, right? He's going to be thirsty because he's been walking underneath that scorching sun for 15 hours without a drop of water. Do you think that deer is going to have a lot of thirst? So we should have even more hunger and thirst for God. Got that? So as that deer yearns for the running water, we should have hunger and thirst for God. That's why we're here in confirmation. Hunger and thirst for Jesus Christ as our best friend. El amigo que nunca falla, right? He's the friend that's, how do you say that in English? El amigo que nunca falla. He never fails us, right? We fail him, but he never fails us. Right? How's the arm? Better? Praise the Lord. Okay, now, who is Jesus? Here's one of the shortest but one of the best definitions that we can give of Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God made man. You got it. He's the Son of God made man. Did Jesus always exist as God? Yes. Did Jesus always exist as man? No. So as God, he always existed.
Father, may I speak to Cesar, please? Cesar.
Yeah. Are you feeling better? You're looking good. You're looking good. Let's say Hail Mary for him now that God will really give him perfect health, okay? Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for our sinners now and at the hour. Lord, you are the divine physician. We pray that through our prayers that Caesar will be healed. He'll go back to his home after this class, healthy and strong. Amen. Amen. Okay, now, Jesus is the Son of God made man. So, did Jesus always exist as God? As man? You got it. So as God, he always existed. But as man, he had a beginning. When was that? What year is it today? About 2017 years ago. You ever think of it that way? You know, Jesus was so important that, look, you ever see these letters, A.D. and B.C.? Yeah. Jesus changed the calendar. You know what B.C. means? Before Christ. And A.D. is Ad Domine, which is Latin for from when the Lord came. Ad Domine, Domine is Latin for when the Lord came into the world. So he divided history into two blocks of time, before he came and after he came. So it's pretty important, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're saying that God came to earth in the sense of
the world? About, not exactly, but about, yeah.
People are always saying that, oh, God existed millions and millions of years ago.
Okay, yeah. God always existed, but Jesus as man, he started to exist about 2017 years ago, as man. But the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, has always existed. There is no beginning, and there will be no end to God. Whereas we had a beginning, right? About 13 years ago, 13 and a half years ago. And I'm a really old guy, many years ago. But, you know, 100 years ago, I didn't exist, believe it or not. I'm not 100 yet. I'm about two-thirds of that. I'm closer to the other end of the bridge. You guys are closer to the beginning of the bridge. I'm closer to the other end of the bridge. No? But the other end of the bridge is heaven, right? So I'm kind of looking forward to that. Did you know that my grandmother lived in 3 centuries? Did you know that?
Yeah.
It's cool, huh? You're not going to live in 3 centuries, probably not. You have to be born at the end of the century to be able to do that, right? What? I was born right in the middle of the century, so I'm not going to be living in 3 centuries, no? Unless I live to be 160, which I probably won't be. She died at 104. So when she was your age, she met a guy that was 70. That guy that was 70 maybe met Abraham Lincoln. You ever hear of Abraham Lincoln? Yeah. I think I told you that she didn't like Babe Ruth because she's from Detroit. They had a Ty Cobb and the Tigers. And Babe Ruth was in town. He'd always be able to beating up on the Tigers. First black player who played on the Dodgers was the Brooklyn Dodgers. See how I know my baseball? Here's a question for you. Who is the biggest, tallest, heaviest baseball player that ever lived? I'll give you a hint. He's on the Yankees. And they won yesterday. He looks like a giant. He's the biggest in the history of baseball. He looks like a giant. And if you look at not Sabathia. He's bigger than Sabathia. Aaron Judge. He's about 6'8" almost and about 280 pounds, no? So you look at him with a bat. Can you imagine pitching a ball to him and he hits a line shot back at your head? that'd be scary, wouldn't it? They say he's hit the ball, it's going about 126 miles per hour. That's fast, no? Imagine off the bat, the ball going 126 miles, and you're a pitcher and you don't duck. You're going to be in the cemetery, right? Okay, so that has really nothing to do with the class, does it? But it's interesting anyway, right? Jesus is the Son of God made man. Okay, what is Jesus in relationship to the Trinity? Jesus is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. He is true God and true man. who's the fourth person in the Trinity? Who's the fourth person in the Trinity?
There's no fourth.
Okay, good. Hey, you guys. You're alert this afternoon, huh? There's only three persons, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I got you thinking, though, huh? Okay, now, why did the second person of Blessed Trinity, is he going to go home?
His mom's going to take him just to get a checkup at the doctor.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. So we prayed for him. I think he'll be okay. He'll look pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, maybe he didn't have a good meal. Maybe dehydrated, yes.
Yeah.
Could be,
yeah. I thought he was missing a mom. Yeah, first I was
like, what? Yeah. He'll be better. He'll be okay. God heard our prayers, right? We prayed for him. Okay, why did the second person of the Blessed Trinity become man? For four reasons. To take away our what?
Sins.
Our sins. Is there anyone in the world that didn't commit any sins?
I think I know him.
Mary.
Now, Pope is a sinner, too. You know, it's interesting, Pope Francis, you don't remember, but when he was just made Pope, someone asked him, "Who are you?" And he said, know what he said? He said, "I'm a sinner." That's what he said. That's one of the first things he said. You remember that? He said, "Who are you?" "I'm a sinner." Are you a sinner too?
Yeah.
So am I. Welcome to the club of sinners, no? But does God forgive sinners? Yeah, we go to confession. Go to confession, and then the priest gives you absolution. Hey, you're forgiven. And you're... maybe never committed a mortal sin. You probably committed some venial sin. No? Dominic Savio. Hmm? We have to try to avoid committing sin. The deeper our friendship with Jesus, the less we're going to commit sins.
Did Jesus sin?
No.
And there's one... I brought these for the boys.
Oh, great. Hey, we'll give these at the end of the class. There's one other person, whoops, that never committed a sin. Who is that? Mary, and that's called... Jesus never committed a sin, and Mary never committed a sin, and we call her the Immaculate Conception. She would conceive without sin and never commit even a small sin in her whole life. When you commit a sin, how do you feel afterward? Sad?
Heavy?
Depressed? Bad? You know, maybe when you're committing a sin, you feel, I'm going to do this. But after you feel sad, you feel kind of depressed. So you should always think about it.
You feel like dumb.
Yeah. Why did I do that? That's kind of dumb. Why did I do that? But you can try to avoid sin because we feel bad, but also that damages our friendship with Jesus. That's even more important. We don't want to hurt our friend, right? Good. Okay, second is to show us God's
love.
Right. To show us God's love. Now, I think one of the most evident proofs of the fact that someone loves us is that that person is willing to suffer for us. And none of us will ever experience this. But when your mother had you, when you were born, do you think she was whistling and chewing gum and singing a Beatles song?
No.
I mean, what you hear is sometimes it takes a long time for the baby to come out. So the fact that your mom suffered a lot, my mom suffered a lot for me and for you, shows a lot of love.
My mom was a C-section.
C-section? Yeah. Well, still, you know, there's a lot of fear, right?
The only regular one was my big brother, and me and my sister are
C-sections. C-sections? Okay.
What's that mean?
It means they take a knife and actually cut the stomach open and take the baby out.
Why?
Because something would happen is the baby doesn't want to come out. The baby doesn't want to come out. He didn't want to come out. He felt more safe in his mother's womb, right? We're glad you came out, though. Okay, next. Letter C. To be not only our friend. To be not only our friend, but our model of holiness as well. I was going to ask you, do you want to become a saint? You.
For me?
Yeah. You're not sure about that. How about you? Kind of?
Yes.
Okay, good. How about you? You want to become a saint? Good, okay. Well, okay. How many of you want to go to heaven? Okay, who's in heaven? God, Mary, the angels, and the... so for you to go to heaven, you have to become a saint. Gotcha. Right? You might not be a canonized saint. Canonized doesn't mean shot out of the cannon. A canonized saint means someone that the Pope officially pronounces before the whole world that person is a saint in heaven. Most saints are not canonized, but they're anonymous. Any of you know what the word anonymous means?
Random.
What's that?
Like
unknown, right? And most of them are not known publicly. But we all have to become saints because only saints are in heaven. So we should pray, Lord, help me to imitate Dominic Savio, John Bosco, John Paul II. The other day we celebrated a saint that was canonized just 3 years ago with John Paul II. John Paul, you've heard of John Paul II. He was canonized with another pope. His name was Saint John the 23rd. And he liked to tell a lot of jokes. Can I tell them one of their jokes? They're not going to understand it, but later on they will. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, you know that the Pope lives in a city, it's called the Vatican City. Did you know that?
Yeah.
It's actually it's a little city. It's his own post office. It's called the Vatican City. I lived in Rome for 7 years, and I was actually ordained there in the Vatican. So I have a little bit of experience. No? Someone asks John the 23rd, how many people work in the Vatican? You know what he said? About half of them. Ah. It's a good one, isn't it? They'll understand it later, but it's a good one. No? Do you know what it means? What does it mean? Why don't the others work? You say it. They're lazy, right? They're flocos. It's a good one, huh? Okay, now, you've been waiting very patiently for a letter D, right? To share his...
divine?
Yeah, good. Divine nature. To share his divine nature with us so that we truly may become sons and daughters of God. Are you a son of God? I thought so. You look like it. How about you? Kind of? Are you a son of God? Okay, you're all right. When did you become a son of God?
When I was born.
Nope. Creature of God.
Baptist.
So when you're baptized, you actually became a son of God. Natural or adopted? You know, there's only one natural son of God, that's Jesus Christ. We're all adopted through baptism. The only natural one is Jesus Christ. So all of us are adopted, and that's fine. We're adopted into God's family. Amen, brother. Hallelujah, huh? Number four. When does the church celebrate the birthday of Jesus in Bethlehem? This is the most important birthday in the world. Fourth of July. Halloween? Getting close, huh? Thanksgiving?
Christmas.
Halloween and Thanksgiving. You guys are living in another planet, huh? So Christmas is the day in which the church celebrates the most important birthday in the world, the birthday of Jesus, the Son of God, and the Son of Mary, and our Savior. What are you thinking about 2 weeks before Christmas, though? Don't lie. Tell the truth.
Presents.
Well, you're honest, no? You're thinking, like, 2 weeks before Christmas, what am I going to get?
I
don't. A lot of people are thinking about that. You have any little younger brothers and sisters? What is Santa Claus going to get me this year? So Christmas for a lot of people is just materialism. What's in it for me? Whereas the real gift of Christmas is a person, Jesus Christ. Amen? So the real gift of Jesus Christ was born so that we will be able to be born into heaven one day. Amen? Okay. How many natures are there in Jesus? How many natures in Jesus? Okay, so you have Jesus. You said he has two natures. What are they? They are the human and they are the divine. The human means, look at this, da-da-da-da, he was man. They just knocked out the H-U. He was a man. But what does divine mean? Important word. But your grandmother is special, but she's not divine. Right? Your abuelita es muy especial, pero no es divina. Divine means that Jesus was and is, he's God. So he's man and God. And how many persons in Jesus?
Three.
No!
Two.
No!
One.
Just one. He's the second person. Okay. You're 1-for-3 in baseball. Okay. Popped out, struck out, you got a single. Better that than 0-for-4, right? Next. So the two natures, the divine nature because he's God, the human nature because he's man. What about the incarnation? By the way, is incarnation the same as reincarnation?
No.
Never hear the word reincarnation?
Yeah.
What does reincarnation mean?
Like born again.
Yeah, who believes that? The Buddhism, they believe that, like, if you really live a good life, you come back as the King of England. If you live a bad life, you come back as a cucaracha. So behave. Behave. Portate bien. Okay. They believe that. So they don't believe, like, if I were to come in here, there's a cucaracha. Oh, my great-grandfather. They actually believe that. That aunt was my great-grandfather has come back in the body of a cucaracha. We don't believe that, do we? We believe that one life. Our life is linear. Linear. Okay, here's your birth. And these are years. And then it comes to an end. And then it comes to the end. There is an arrow that can go either there or there. There is purgatory, yes. Yeah, but purgatory means eventually you're going to be going where?
Heaven.
Oh. Purgatory is a temporary place of burning away our selfishness. But you go to purgatory, you're going to go to heaven. Might be a long time, might be a short time.
Like, say, a year in purgatory is probably 10,000 years.
It's a good point. I remember reading a book on purgatory, and there was this, it's actually... A priest was talking with his guardian angel, and the guardian angel said, well, God has given you a choice. You can suffer one more year on earth and go right to heaven, or one day in purgatory. He said, one day in purgatory. So he dies, and the guardian angel, and he falls into purgatory. There he is in these flames. He's burning in these flames. And he's suffering a lot. And he's crying out, oh, this really hurts. And he thinks that a long time has passed. You know, the guy named him said one day. He thought that, you know, a year passed, 5 years passed, 10 years passed, a century passed. And finally, his guardian angel appears and says, hey, Father, come on, come on, star, how's it going? Wow! Oh! Is it terrible? You said I was only going to be here for a day. And the guardian angel says, well, how long do you think you've been here? I don't know. I left my watch upstairs. I'm not sure. But centuries. And he said, 1 hour has passed. You got 23 to go. So to make a long story short, have your purgatory here rather than afterward, huh? Yeah, that I guess you shouldn't be laughing, no, but better to have it here than afterward, no? It used to be a Midas muffler commercial, pay now or pay later. Better to pay now, huh? Pay now or pay later, no? So all of you guys want to go to purgatory, right? We should want to go to heaven. You know what burns in purgatory is if our love for God is not perfect, gotta burn it away in purgatory. But if you die with perfect love for God and neighbor, then you go to heaven right away. But we sometimes we're lazy, we're selfish, we talk back, we don't obey our parents. All that has to be burnt away. That's not good, is it? No? But all of you are perfectly obedient sons, right? You would never, ever in your life disobey mom or dad, right? I hear you guys groaning inside, huh? Well, you got to work on it. It's not easy. But you got to work on it. If it's hard to obey, look at Jesus on the cross. You think that was easy? That's pretty hard, wasn't it? If he suffered so much, you should be willing to suffer a little bit for him, right? Okay, so number
6.
What is the incarnation? The incarnation is the union. The union of the human nature and the divine nature. It's the union of the human nature and the divine nature. In the second person of the Trinity. Number 7. Who is the mother of Jesus?
Mary.
Mary of?
Matthew.
Did you ever notice on the top of the cross that there are a few letters up there?
Yeah.
What letters are they?
I-N-R-I.
What do they mean? It's actually written in three languages. Because where Jesus lived, there are three different cultures. Are there three different cultures here in L.A.? Latino, American, right? Or Anglo, and Asian. Three different cultures here, right? Basic cultures. In the time of Jesus, there are three different cultures. It would be the political power, which would be the Romans. The intellectuals, that would be the Greeks. And the religious leaders would be the Jews. So this is written in the Latin, the language of the Romans. And do you know what it means? I didn't think so, so he'll tell you, okay? Okay, yeah, great. Say it again. Okay, so this would be Jesus of Nazareth. Rex would be the Latin king of the Jews. Well done. So that leads us to the next question. Mary of Nazareth. The Blessed Virgin Mary. Mary of Nazareth. Want me to spell it for you? N-A-Z-A-R-E-T-H. Mary of Nazareth. So Nazareth, what is that? What was that?
That's a place.
Yeah, it's a town, like Hawaiian Gardens, okay? Like Jose de Hawaiian Gardens, okay? Jesus of Nazareth, he lived there for about 30 years. A poor town also, not a very famous, kind of a poor town of peasant people. Okay, did Mary have any other children besides Jesus?
No.
No. Okay, true she had us, but she only had one biological child, and that was Jesus. Well, Mary would not... For example, our friend had a moment of sickness. Did Jesus or Mary ever get sick?
No.
Yes.
No.
No.
They didn't, because all of you were born with original sin. Yes. Baptism washed that away. And one of the reasons why we get sick is because we were born with original sin.
And Mary
was not. So she was born without original sin, conceived without original sin. So you never see Jesus and Mary laying in bed with a fever, okay? Or going to the doctor.
The guy who was Mary's,
Saint Joseph.
Well,
he died when Jesus was probably pretty young. Before Jesus was 30, St. Joseph already died. We don't know when he died. What type of work did he do? Do you know?
Carpenter.
So he worked with wood, making tables and chairs, houses, windows, roofs. No? Hard work, huh? Didn't have any electric saws back then. Everything was done manually. I've often thought, if St. Joseph shook your hand, you probably go like this. Ow! He was probably really strong. He wouldn't give you what's called a dead fish handshake. You ever get a dead fish handshake kind of like this? Pez mojado. You know? He was a strong man, St. Joseph. Carpenters were strong. They were strong. They'd pick up heavy pieces of wood. They had to saw. They had to pound nails.
They had...
What?
What did Jesus tell him he
did? Well, we don't know. The last time we see Joseph is when Jesus is 12 years old, when he's lost in the temple. Remember that? He was lost for 3 days. That's the last time that Joseph appears, then he disappears. So he died in between Jesus was 12 and 30. So exactly when he died, we don't know. Yeah, that's a tradition. In the paintings where you see Joseph is laying down and Jesus is pointing to heaven. Mary is beside him. You ever see one of those pictures?
Yeah.
Okay, next. Who then was St. Joseph? He was the husband of the Blessed Virgin Mary and the foster father. Foster father of Jesus. Let's go down to the bottom. St. Joseph is patron of the Universal Church. In calling him the patron of the Universal Church, the Church is revealing to us the great power of his prayers and his profound holiness of life. St. Teresa of Avila said that she never remembered a time that God did not answer her prayers through St. Joseph. Where other saints help us in some of our needs, she said, St. Joseph helps us in all of them. She did not know anyone who practiced devotion to him who did not notably advance in virtue. In virtue. That means in holiness, in virtue. Number 10, how long did Jesus remain in his private life in Nazareth?
20 years?
30.
15. 12.
10.
30. 30. Jesus spent close to 30 years in his private life of Nazareth. From these long years, he teaches us these many important lessons. Silence, prayer, obedience, and work. And that's what a lot of teenagers, that's what teenagers should be doing. Moments of silence. You gotta pray. You got to obey, and you got to work. So your principal obligation is to work at school. Try to perform well at school. There's three types of work. There's physical work, there's mental work, and there's spiritual work. Using our body, our minds, and our soul. Number eight. It's no. Just no. Okay, now let's go to the second part of number 10. So, Jesus teaches the lessons of silence, prayer, obedience, and work. Silence, always for listening to God. Listening to God. Prayer is talking to God. Prayer is talking to God. Jesus obeyed his parents, the fourth commandment. Finally, work well done with the right attention is very pleasing to God. Number 11. How can we learn and pray over Jesus' private life? A very good way to learn and to pray over the infancy of Jesus and his private life is by praying and meditating on the
Holy.
Okay, you probably all know that we're learning there are four series of rosaries. Remember the four different types of rosaries we can pray? The glorious would be one, and then you got the sorrowful, and then you got the luminous, and what about the first?
Joyful.
Okay, so write that in there. Praying and meditating on the joyful mysteries of the Holy Rosary. The Holy Rosary. See that picture? Who's in that picture?
Mary.
You know what her name is? The name we celebrate, a very important feast day for Mary. It's Our Lady Fatima. Can any of you read those small letters, what it says, I am? I am the Lady of the Rosary. That's another name for Our Lady of Fatima. I'm the Lady of the Rosary. She prayed six times to little children in Fatima 100 years ago and said every time she appeared, pray the Rosary. What are the joyful mysteries of the Rosary? They are, the first is the Annunciation. When the Archangel announced to Mary that she's going to be the Mother of God. The second would be the
Visitation.
Mary went to visit who?
Jesus Christ.
Her sister.
Her cousin. What's her cousin's name? She's an old woman expecting a baby. The old lady was the age of your grandmother expecting a baby. Any of you have grandmothers that are still living? How old is your grandmother? What would happen if she called you and said, I'm going to have another baby? You'd be surprised, right? Elizabeth, maybe she wasn't 94, but she was up in years. So Mary went to visit her to help her out. Okay, the third is the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem. You know, Bethlehem means house of bread. Did you know that? Belen, house of bread. Fourth, the presentation of Jesus in the temple. So he was 40 days old and they presented him in the temple. And the last, he's 12 years old, about your age, a year younger, would be after he was lost for 3 days, what happened? The finding of Jesus in the temple. What is one of the primary purposes of the Rosary? According to St. John Paul II, one of the primary purposes of the Holy Rosary is to contemplate the face. Contemplate the face of Jesus through the eyes and heart of Mary. Contemplate the face of Jesus to the eyes and heart of Mary. Jesus is a child. What do we know of him? After Jesus was found in the temple, the gospel says this of Jesus. He was obedient. He was obedient to them, and his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and grace before God and man. Okay, Paul, leave them in your hands.
Okay.
God bless you.